in honor of Nebraska's approval of the Keystone XL, you put together an interactive piece on oil pipeline and hazardous material spills in the U.S. over the past 2 years. You say that these spills are a daily reality, and this is an update of your previous oil spill data, which you published in 2015. What did you notice about the recent data compared to what you found last time?
Well, the reason I did it in the first place, the last time, which was in 2015, like you said, it was right after the Santa Barbara pipeline spill. I don't know if you remember that. And so I looked into it at that point and found that the most recent data from 2010 to 2015 showed that a total of about 7 million gallons of oil had spilled from pipelines all over the country during that time. So that was during a five-year stretch. This time I checked again. I updated it just because it had been a couple of years. A lot of stuff has happened in that 2.5 years as far as pipelines go. We had the Dakota Access Pipeline and the whole protests about that in South Dakota. We've had the Keystone XL Pipeline and the controversy over that. And then, of course, there was the Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota spilled, and that's why I brought this up again. It spilled just days before Nebraska approved the Keystone XL Pipeline, sister project.
It's about 200,000 gallons.
Yeah, and what I found, though, when I looked, is that that was not entirely unusual. There have been at least 5 spills in the last 2.5 years that were that size or larger. And basically, the rate of spillage, it's been about 3.6 million gallons over 2.5 years, and before it was 7 million gallons over 5 years. So it's basically about the same amount every year. A little bit over 1 million gallons a year is spilling, which is pretty alarming when you think about it. But that's kind of just the normal.
You said that these pipelines that you took a look at are just a portion of the pipelines in the U.S.
Yeah, so what I did this time is I looked at crude oil and what are called hazardous materials. What that includes is stuff like refined petroleum products, like gasoline or propane, plus some other chemicals like ammonia is one of them that's included in this database. And so is carbon dioxide, actually, which isn't that hazardous of a material as far as humans are concerned, but it can be. And so there are carbon dioxide pipelines flowing around, which might surprise some people, but that's because carbon dioxide is actually, you drill for it into reservoirs underground, and then they pipe it to oil fields usually, where they shoot it into the oil fields underground in order to stimulate production.
That's really interesting. I was going to ask about whether the carbon dioxide are spills or releases.
I mean, they're more like releases because it's a gas. Some of these hazardous materials are actually gaseous, which makes them much more dangerous in some cases because that can be flammable or they can be poisonous. And when it's a gas, of course, you can't recover it. And that's one thing about oil. I saw a story just today about this latest Keystone spill that was kind of from a pro-energy outlet, was touting the fact that they had cleaned up 1,000 barrels, or they had recovered 1,000 barrels of the oil that had spilled in South Dakota out of the 5,000 barrels that had spilled. So, of course, that means there's still 4,000 barrels still out there seeping into whatever. But oil, you can recover. One of the things that I did not include in this database is natural gas releases. Those are probably scarier than crude oil because those are the ones that explode and can kill people. Plus, methane, which is the main component of natural gas, is a very potent greenhouse gas. You get a ruptured pipeline, and you're getting massive amounts of methane going into the air very quickly, and there's no way to capture it or to recover it, and that's adding to global warming.
Well, what did you find were the main causes of these spills and releases?
You know, the main cause really is corrosion. It's basically rust. These pipes are rusting, getting old and rusting, and that is a big challenge with pipelines, especially oil pipelines, is keeping them from corroding. The next major causes usually are people excavating something or people driving cars and running into something, like when pipelines aren't buried. Lightning is actually a fairly large cause of pipeline breaks. Vandalism is one cause, although it's actually fairly low on the list. Other kind of extreme weather events, such as floods, for sure. or when the earth kind of shifts because it gets supersaturated during heavy rains or that kind of things. There's all kinds of reasons for pipelines to break. You know, when we think about ways of transporting oil, for example, you know, we've got trains, you got trucks, and you got pipelines. We usually think of pipelines as being the safest because they're underground and you don't see them. And so out of sight, out of mind, kind of, they must be safe, but that's not really the case. Oil pipelines don't necessarily explode the same as an oil train might explode, which could kill a lot of people. But as far as breaking and leaking goes, I don't know that pipelines are any better than other forms of transportation.
Jonathan Thompson, reporter for High Country News, who lives in Bulgaria. Thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Amy. It's my pleasure.